Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
Hey everybody, it's time once again for The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larry M.
And we're coming to you semi-live from our beautiful Brooklyn studios here in New York City. Judah Larry M., we had a little bit of a delay last week, both of us getting caught in some horrific weather on our way to the studio, so we weren't able to do a show last week. We hope the audience forgives us for not being able to deliver some quality entertainment.
Yes, we had a semi-live storm.
Yeah, horrible.
That, I got caught. I was literally in the middle of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah,
doing my crazy exercise routine.
Right,
and by the time I got across, I was just drenched.
Yeah, it was just horrible. So we decided to shelve it until this week. But don't worry. There's plenty to talk about on The Riot. But first, let's do our Judo Larry M's favorite part of the show.
It's time for the pimping.
That's right. So let's pimp away and say that you can follow us every week on thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. You could also find us on iTunes. Just search for That Riot Show. You could also go to facebook.com/thatriotshow. Go to YouTube and search for That Riot Show. And of course, the place to be in between episodes of The Riot, go to twitter.com/thatriotshow, where Judo Larry M., once again, very active on Twitter this past week.
Were you doing the usual trolling?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And informing?
Yes, I like the air quotes around informing. Yes, no, definitely got on there. As a matter of fact, this will lead into one of our later discussions, but talking back and forth with Pete Dominic, one of our liberal foils, about the benefits or lack thereof of Obamacare.
Right.
Which, you know, the tyranny begins on October 1st, Judo Larry.
Are there any benefits to it?
No, I don't think so. But who knows? It depends who you talk to, right?
Right.
So we could get into that a little bit later. We also really went after Piers Morgan for being more than his usual idiot self. Also, Senator Giron, who got recalled in Colorado over the gun control laws that she sponsored, which was also very interesting. We can talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, definitely, if you want to keep up with us in between shows, best place really to go, twitter.com. That's our preferred medium for doing wacky stuff and really just bothering people, making the snarky comments. Once again, being retweeted by some comedians like Colin Quinn, Judo Larry M. He liked us again this past week, retweeted one of our comments to his hundreds of thousands of followers, so that's good too. But anyway, let's talk about the issues that are on our mind, Judo Larry M.
Well, what would you like to start with?
Well, let's start out with the obvious elephant in the room. Let's talk about the tragedy earlier in the week, the Washington Navy Yard shooting.
Right.
Now, again, this is one of those tragedies where 12 people, I believe, were killed, murdered.
Right. Yes.
By a gunman who, and you know what? My new policy is I'm not going to even mention his name. And I'll tell you why in a little while. But a lone gunman going in, shooting up the Naval Yard, which, as perhaps not most or many people know, is a servicemen and people in employ of the Navy not allowed to have sidearms.
Really?
In the Naval Yard.
Wow.
By law. President Clinton passed that law in the 90s.
Not a good idea. In essence,
unless you're an MP or in an active, like, rifle range training type of thing, not allowed to have any firearms on service bases, right. Service installations. So
not a good idea.
In this particular case, this guy came in with not an AR-15, as was widely reported by, of course, the liberal media.
That was a mistake.
But basically, I believe, came in with a shotgun, killed the guard, the MP, at the entrance and took his weapons and then just went batshit crazy, essentially getting a high position above the cafeteria, above the mall over there. And, and basically just picking people off one by one. So really horrific, tragic Judah Lariam.
Right.
And honestly, we've said this before, you can't defend against crazy.
No.
Which is what's going on here.
No, there's nothing you can do.
He had legally bought his gun. He had gone in with the background check and everything. So it's not like it was even a stolen gun.
You know, every time something like this happens, and you know, the very left-wing people, they always freak out about guns.
It's guns.
Now, look, I understand it involves guns. I understand, unfortunately, it increases the carnage.
Right.
But, like, what do I always say? Wait till you find out about these people. And it's always the same thing. They're mentally ill.
Yeah.
They're mentally ill. This guy already talking about he's hearing voices.
Right.
Voices told him to do things. And he was
saying of that before he went in. I mean, before they killed him. I mean, obviously, he was talking about, you know, hearing voices. He was disturbed. He was dishonorably discharged, I believe, from the Navy. So,
but a lot of the shooters that you keep hearing about all have mental health issues.
Well, he fell through the cracks, basically, and it was that, you know, he shouldn't have been able to.
Not completely. There was a report that said that there was a threat like a month ago or something, and that they could have been on top of this.
But that's what I mean. He fell through the cracks because, A, there were reports of that, but, B, he should have never passed any check for a legal gun.
Right.
Ever. Like, I mean, even the laws that are on the books now. But, of course, you had people like our favorite punching bag on this issue, Piers Morgan, who immediately took to the air to announce that a shooter with an AR-15 had gone in there and slaughtered these people, which, by the way, Piers Morgan couldn't tell an AR-15 if it was sitting in front of his face. You know, to him, anything with a trigger is an AR-15.
Yeah, some idiot on his staff just gave him that information.
Because it fits an agenda, too. You know, it fits his agenda of trying to get rid of AR-15s. But to the extent that, first of all, he never retracted that statement, by the way. He never went back and said.
He never went back and said.
By the way, I made a mistake. You know, too pompous, too full of his shitty self, shitty Irish self to say, hey, you know, I made a mistake. But what's interesting about this is a lot of things. First of all, from the left, there's this rush to say we have to ban guns. We have to have legislation. We have to increase gun control. Again, missing the point that gun control only affects the legal gun owners. They are not the people doing this shit.
Right.
This is someone who lost his mind, was mentally unbalanced, was whatever you want to call it, crazy, evil, whatever adjective you want to put in this case. But it was someone who had mental issues. It was someone who was not a stable personality. And yet this guy found a gun, was able to pass the checks required by law, and he just went on a rampage.
Right.
How can you legislate against that?
No, you can't. And even if you banned every gun and there is, you know.
By the way, the Naval Yard, again, gun-free zone, which is what these liberals want, right? Gun-free zones.
Even if you banned everything, if somebody's really committed to getting it, they're going to get it.
Yes.
If they really want to get a gun, I always tell people, I make the same argument about drugs. They keep trying to ban all the drugs, ban marijuana. If people really want things, it's part of the price you pay for living in an open society. If people really want these things, they're going to get it.
Right, right. And then the other thing, of course, is that Piers Morgan at some point was trying to make some, you know, he's trying to be an analyst, you know, and he's trying to make some statistical connection. He says, oh, there's been more of these shootings since 2003, I think he was trying to say, than at any other time. What's the correlation there? Guns. More guns. And I went, listen, stupid, when you play with numbers like that, especially when you get them from Mother Jones, who he was quoting as his source, you have to understand what the numbers mean. For example, you think that these shootings are correlated, mass shootings are correlated to increased guns. Let me point something else out, Piers Morgan. Since 2003, we've entered the nonstop news cycle. Why don't you stop and ask yourself, is it the guns that are increasing the number of these mass shootings? And I'm not even sure that they have increased in terms of rate, Judah Lariam. But let's assume that he's right. Or is it because idiot networks like CNN and MSNBC constantly put these shooters' names and give them the attention they want? gives them the infamy they want.
Yeah.
They become famous because idiots like Piers Morgan constantly repeat their names, put their pictures up, and talk about their histories and what they did and how they pay. And by the way, first of all, CNN got just about everything wrong. The number of shooters, the type of gun involved, the number. And again,
in their rush to get the story out.
And much like they did with the Boston bombings, right? Now, I understand, facts are fuzzy. They change. I get that. But most responsible news organizations would then back up and issue corrections, retractions. Right. CNN never does that.
Right. You can't. You bet things, but you can't always bet them perfectly. But if you screw up, then at some point you have to say, like, look, we said it was an AR-15. It was really this.
Or, right.
We thought there were two shooters in this one.
Right.
Like whatever it is, get it out there and do a correction. You're not going to die if you have to admit you were wrong. You might even gain some respect.
Absolutely. But Piers Morgan wants to blame everything on guns. He's willing to blame stuff on Grand Theft Auto, which was released the same day as the shooting,
video
I believe.
Game?
Yeah, because of course, you and I know, Judalarian, video games are responsible for mass shootings.
Oh, of course. Let me tell you something. I grew up playing Atari, and I had that other thing called Intellivision.
Right.
And I had a million of these games, and they were as violent as can be. Am I violent? Am I hurting people?
Right.
I mean,
But that's not even the point. The point is, why would you extrapolate that movies and how many millions? See, this is what people don't understand. When you correlate stuff, if you don't look for causation, anything can become a correlation. Like, here's the old joke I always say. Judo Lariam, do you realize that within 24 hours of every mass shooting, the sun had come up?
Okay.
That's a 100% correlation.
Right.
It happens in every shooting. But no one would stand back and say the sun causes mass shootings.
No.
Right? Why don't... Video games don't cause the violence. Do you know why? Because if you're someone under the age of 40 in this world... Odds are you've spent a lot of time with violent video games, and yet 99.99% of the people in that case who have played violent video games aren't murderers.
Well, that's why I was just
saying.
They're
not psychotic.
But that's why I was just saying.
Right.
I played these games growing up.
Yeah.
I watched all those cartoons when I was growing up, Tom and Jerry, Popeye, violent as can be. I've seen all these, all the Die Hard movies, nothing but nonstop shoot 'em up.
Yeah.
What violence? Look, these things are always just a matter of how susceptible you are to...
Meaning you have mental issues.
Well, yeah.
Basically, that's what it comes down to. The common denominator is mental illness. It's not guns.
Right.
It's not violent video games. It's not violent movies. Like, here's a thing that maybe CNN can try. Do you know how during ball games you have some idiots that run on the field on occasion? They streak or whatever?
Run.
What's the policy of all those broadcasters? They don't show you the guy.
They don't show it. They used to.
Yeah, and then they stopped.
They stopped.
Like 25 years ago, they stopped. Why? Because they realized that's why people were doing it, to get on TV.
Yeah, and you were giving them attention. What they used to do is they'd show them.
Right.
And they'd show the security guards chasing them.
Right.
And then upon showing them, chasing them, they would also describe it.
Right.
And while they describe, and then they're right at the very end, they go, "Boy, I hope somebody does something. This jerk."
But they changed their policy, and they changed it to not showing the incident. And guess what? Those incidents have been cut down tremendously. Why doesn't CNN take the position that they're not going to report everything right away? They could say there's been a shooting, not give out the name of the assailant, not give out the name of the murderer, not start psychoanalyzing what was wrong with him and everything until like a year later. Like, have the cops do all that. Why are you making this guy or these people famous? Why are you giving them the attention they crave? Why don't you ask yourself that, Piers Morgan? As a matter of fact, I've never heard Piers Morgan sit down and even discuss that possibility. To him, it fits his leftist liberal agenda to say it's a matter of too many guns. Let's get rid of the guns. And again, he ignores facts. D.C. has very strict gun control. Naval bases do not have people carrying guns. They're gun-free zones. The cities with the toughest gun control laws tend to have the highest violent crimes using guns.
Yep.
Okay? Not all counties that have concealed carry are violent. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. If you look at the counties in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, with concealed carry laws, guess what? They don't have this explosion that the liberals are afraid of. right. of shootings and murders and people having gunfights like at the AOK Corral.
Right.
As a matter of fact, if you probably look at the statistics, Judo Larry, I mean, in the Old West, when everybody had a rod on their hip,
yeah,
you had less per capita murders and incidents. Why?
Maybe, yeah.
No, I think it's actually true. You know why? Because everyone knew
that if you crossed the line with somebody, you could get shot.
You get yeah. shot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same thing here. Gun-free zones. You know what that means? Come shoot us because there's nobody has a gun here to
that
stop
means nobody
you.
Nobody has a gun. So if you're a bad guy with yeah. a gun, that's the place to be.
Yeah, exactly. You are advertising, please come and kill us here.
I mean, I got to say this, though. As far as what you were saying, I absolutely agree they're giving these guys way too much attention, all that. I do expect a news agency, though, to show me his face and tell me his name.
Eventually.
And, you know, yeah.
They don't need to do it 10 seconds after it happened.
No.
And
that's,
certainly,
that's unfortunate because you know what happened when I was growing up, and I always remember this. It used to be that you know the news agencies, you know, like I said, they vetted there and they got the information, blah blah blah. But in the past, like 20 years or whatever, now they've really become competing interests. I mean,
sure.
they used to compete, but not like it is now. Now it's really the Fox thing, the MSNBC, CNN,
sure.
and it's all about beating the other guy and getting yeah. ratings.
Yeah.
So now that that's what it's become all about, they don't vet things well enough. And the perfect example of that is that time when Dan Rather ran with that stupid story about Bush with the National Guard and all
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, but that was 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, but he turned out to be wrong. No, this is while Bush was running and then running for re-election. So this is like 10 years. But the point is, he didn't vet it.
Yeah.
He didn't work. He was so busy trying to get the story and get the scoop,
right.
and he wanted to get out there.
Right.
Plus, he hates the Bushes.
Right.
And you throw it all together, and you get a very irresponsible.
Of course.
So, you know. But
and most of these news agencies are that way.
Yeah.
You know, CNN, MSNBC. It was funny because on the late, on the, the Jon Stewart show. What's that? The
Daily Show.
The Daily Show. Excuse me. Thank you. Jon Stewart even did a segment where he shit on CNN. Where
yes.
he was like, how many times can you get things wrong?
Yes, he called it a wrong NATO.
Yeah. Yeah, like how many times can you get things wrong? And, you know, Piers Morgan got all snippy. You know, he basically
right.
told Jon Stewart, like, if I were you, I'd watch out for John Oliver. He's younger and funnier than you.
Yeah, and actually he picks the other limey. Like
yeah,
himself.
Yeah, exactly. And I tweeted to him saying, no, if you were Jon Stewart, you'd have ratings and respect as opposed
right.
to
just the opposite.
Nothing and people shitting on you
actually,
constantly.
Actually, just the opposite
yeah.
for Jon Stewart's benefit. He
yeah.
took that show over when that big dummy used to do it, Craig,
yeah,
whatever.
Craig, Kilborn, yeah, yeah.
Kilborn, who briefly also had a
yeah.
late night talk show.
Yeah.
And he lost it right away.
Right, right.
Because he wasn't funny. And Jon Stewart took it, and the ratings of the show were like nothing.
Yeah.
And he like completely resurrected it. And,
well, the ratings
you know.
Of his, they're still not awesome. They're very average. It's just that he has such an effect on pop culture that it seems more but
no,
anyway
no, the ratings are very good.
No, that's about 700,000. It's not as much as you think. It's more than you it's less than you think. It's just that because what he says become memes and then they get repeated and they go on YouTube, they go on, you know, Facebook, and you see little clips. Like everyone has seen a Daily Show clip. Very few people actually watch the Daily Show that contributes to the ratings. It's really one of these weird situations, but to your point, he does become influential in the sense that a lot of young people get their news and opinion from Jon Stewart
sure.
and from Steve.
And look at the people.
And from the other guy, Colbert.
Colbert. But look at the guests he gets, though, too.
That speaks to his influence. I think the ratings are relatively low, but his influence is really high. But anyway, so what's interesting here is Piers Morgan, again, went on his anti-gun rant. Again, any guest of his that was on the show totally destroyed him. Like, all he does is these constant emotional pleas, like, how many children have to die? How many people have to die?
Mm,
it's like, nobody is here promoting the murder of people, you asshole.
I would like to remind everyone that that petition to get rid of him is still out there and to deport him back to England.
I just don't even understand. Like, he adds almost nothing to the conversation. It's like the same stupid points. And by the way, when he starts going fact, fact, fact,
yeah.
somebody fact checked him, and it's actually he's wrong 90% of the time.
Yeah.
He makes shit up to fit his point.
Well, that was all part of the wrong NATO. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Stewart goes, but look, I give him credit. You know, usually in the past he just goes after Fox, and hello, and then somehow he this time he got it going, and he was checking out CNN, and he found. I'm going to give Jon Stewart credit on this one. At least he went after CNN. In the past, he usually goes after Fox. And he actually, he made a comment. He goes, how can you like stay in business like this with making this many wrong comments?
Yeah. And for somebody who's the worldwide leader in news, as CNN likes to call itself.
That's a joke.
Like, they're just constantly making mistakes. It's factual, but it's also because they're letting these idiots like Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it. He's
and Stewart
like,
even went after Wolf Blitzer and some of the other people who made mistakes.
Yeah, they generally make mistakes. And the worst part is, again, they don't fess up to them until they're really put up against. Well, you know who else was like that? The sports writer, Mike Lupica, who likes to think he's some social commentator.
Oh, please.
He wrote this whole article the day of the shooting, again, shitting on AR-15s and how AR-15s are dangerous and we can't tolerate this and blah, 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 blah. To this day, he hasn't retracted that column. He hasn't put anything up that says, note, I was mistaken, an AR-15 wasn't used, a shotgun was used, which is perfectly legal, and he bought it legally, and he went through a background check, and he's still, you know what I mean? So these guys really just are people that have an agenda, obviously, and they will not concede any point at all.
Right.
Period. That, you know, they're just assholes like that. There's just no other way
to put it. Well, they've made up their mind. They're convinced, you know, this is part of the liberal douchiness, that they can't be wrong about anything. All their conclusions are right. And you get this kind of condescending...
And of course, they love stats. They love stats. Liberals love to think that they're a lot smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
They're smarter than Republicans. That's they're smarter always, than conservatives. Yeah. They're smarter than libertarians. And yet, very few of them understand anything about statistics. Very few of them understand the difference between causation and correlation. Very few of them understand how to put statistics into context. Why? Because they just throw a shitload of statistics at you, and they really don't understand them. Right. They just use them to overwhelm you. And have you ever dealt with a liberal who's like Pete Dominic or somebody like that, who will just throw statistic after statistic at you, hoping to overwhelm you? Yeah. And when you say something like, wait a second, how does that statistic apply here?
Right.
Well, where's your counter statistic? Where's your counter statistic? What's your source? I got my source from Mother Jones, just like Piers Morgan. Sir, Mother Jones has quoted these statistics. And the guy from the NRA, I think, just looked at him and he goes, Mother Jones is a leftist hack, like a rag. Why would I trust what they have to say? You know, he even said they make up their own definitions to fit their agenda.
Well, but these are also, they're quoting, you know, when you're quoting Mother Jones, he's just quoting a like-minded people.
Exactly.
You tell him exactly what he
wants
to hear.
Well, the funny thing about the Mother Jones thing, which is that more mass shootings have occurred since 2003 than the past 40 years or whatever, in an effort to tie it to AR-15s. Like, if you read the definition in small print, basically what it said is, we define mass shootings to be four more people that takes place by one person outdoors. So, for example, you would have eliminated... the Colorado theater shooting, you would have eliminated the Navy Yard shooting, you would have eliminated the school shooting up in
Connecticut.
In other words, they just said, let's define it in such a way that fits our narrative. That's the classic case of cherry picking.
Right.
That's the classic case of confirmation bias, which is, you know, Paul Krugman, any liberal statistician will cherry pick. Ezra Klein, all these guys. That's what they do best. But, you know, so I don't know what to do with Piers Morgan, Judah Aaron. I tried. I tried on Twitter to set him straight and called him, like, vicious things like a limey and a drunken Irishman and things like that. But it didn't apparently work. He's still here and he's still spouting his nonsense.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I know CNN, they're constantly, you know, they're like MSNBC. They're constantly looking for new shows and new talent to get out there because Fox is killing them in the ratings.
Every step of the way.
And now the ratings for Fox are going to get even crazier.
Yeah.
Because I was reading this thing about the ratings for Fox for their show called The Five is now like the second highest cable show at 5 o'clock.
And, they're just killing it.
They got rid of that Shepard Smith guy and they moved Greta Van Susteren to 7. And then you got O'Reilly. And now they put that blonde chick, Megyn Kelly, on at 9 and push Hannity to 10.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a ratings powerhouse. And they keep making their decisions based on this lineup.
Yeah.
And they're trying to constantly outscore them out. And Piers Morgan's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, he's an idiot. MSNBC is hiring Alec Baldwin to have a show. You know, it's like it's just degrading for them. Well, they just have nothing.
The moment
left.
You know that they gave Al Sharpton a show, you know that they do anything.
Yeah, it's just a joke over there. But you know what's interesting? That's kind of related to this. Did you hear about the recall vote in Colorado last week?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so The good people of Colorado had decided that they had enough of New York's Mayor Bloomberg, who spent a lot of his private money out there to get strict gun control laws passed. And so the good people of Colorado basically warned their elective representatives, if you try to pass this New York shit in Colorado, we will have a recall vote.
Right.
So sure enough, they had a recall vote, and two state senators,
Senator
I believe.
Democrats.
Yeah, were recalled. Right. So they're on their way out. They got booted out. One of them was named, her last name was Giron, G-I-R-O-N. Have you seen this broad complain about the recall vote?
No.
She's fantastic. She should have her own show on, like, CNN. They were interviewing her on CNN, and the CNN actually, the interviewer actually told her, he goes, well, what do you attribute your loss to? And she immediately goes to this. He goes, this is just crazy. It's all, you know what it is? It's voter suppression. It's Republicans' voter suppression. In other words, she was claiming that the only reason she lost is because they suppressed the vote. Which, by the way, voter suppression now for Democrats is second only to the word nigger in terms of turning on Republicans. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you're white and a Democrat, you can't claim that someone called you a nigger. Right? You don't have the race card if you're white.
Right.
So part two of the playbook of a Democratic liberal right now is, if you can't call the Republican a racist, what can we do? What can we do?
Oh, I know.
Voter suppression.
Voter suppression.
That's it.
Targeted at minorities.
There you go.
Keep them out of the voting.
And old people. Yeah. In Colorado, there's no minorities. Let's face it.
Well,
so,
there are some.
So they couldn't claim that. So what they claimed was that they suppressed the elderly from getting to the polls.
I've fallen. I can't get up.
She's out of her fucking mind, this woman.
Oh, please.
So she, even the CNN anchor, who's probably a liberal to begin with, was like, well, is that really the case? Or did you just try to shove a law that was unpopular down people's throats?
Yeah.
And she goes, are you part of it too? Look, it's very obvious that it's voter suppression. What else could it be? And she said, well, maybe people just don't agree with what you did.
Exactly.
No, it's voter suppression. I have to show you the YouTube clip.
It is
hilariously funny that this woman is in complete denial.
Yeah.
Of course, what does CNN do right after the Navy Yard shooting?
What?
They bring on the two recalled senators to talk about gun control.
Oh.
Right? So the one guy is trying to be reasonable, like, this
can we
is
recall
why
Pierce Morgan?
Right. So this is like the this was like the one guy who got recalled just took the liberal, you know, towed the liberal talking points. This is because we have too many guns floating around. How many more people have to die? We need stricter gun control laws, blah, 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 right? The woman gets on, and in totally showing her ignorance, and by the way, this was after they determined what had happened, right? So this wasn't like right away. It wasn't fresh. She first says, see, this is what happens when someone with an AR-15 goes and attacks one of the most heavily armed places in the United States. So all you gun freaks, explain that away. Why did he attack a place that was full of guns? Now, we already know, right? The naval installation had no people with guns. There were no guns everywhere.
Right.
That was the first mistake which means she was just talking out of her ass.
Yeah.
The second one is she kept insisting that the guy had an AR-15, even after CNN admitted there were no AR-15s. So, second mistake that she just totally ignored.
Right.
Right? And then the third thing she said, which was, again, counter to everything people knew at that point, was, see, this is why you need background checks so people like this can't get their hands on guns. And then the interviewer even said, he did have a background check and he did buy his gun legally.
Legally, yeah.
And she just had this look on her face, like, I really expected her to say,
it's voter suppression.
Voter suppression, God damn it. It's voter suppression. So Senator Giron, you win on, and I posted this on Twitter, Judo Lariam, Senator Giron is now my number one twat on Twitter.
Your Twitter twat.
She's my Twitter twat. She surpasses.
Will you be tweeting your Twitter twat later?
Yes, I already did. So everybody go to twitter.com/thatriotshow. She has taken the first place from such luminaries as Cher.
Cunt.
From other twats like Cher, Sarah Silverman. She's taken away the spot from Bette Midler.
Cunt.
Susan Sarandon.
Whore.
And Piers Morgan.
Fag.
These are all the twats.
And that other guy on MSNBC.
Oh, Touré.
Touré.
Hip, hip, hooray for Touré. Fuck you. Halifax.
Halifax.
Yeah, so, yeah, anyway, so the predictable nonsense as a result of the shooting. And also, again, you know, it's interesting, like, when MSNBC wants to get the so-called Republican viewpoint or the Tea Party viewpoint, what do? They go to the most remote trailer park to find people for comments.
Right.
And then they claim this is indicative of every libertarian, every conservative, every Republican. I really want to do the same thing, too. When I want to get the liberal opinion, let's go to 125th and Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Right.
Let's get some opinions there on how Obamacare is going to be good for the economy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you would call me a racist if I put a microphone in the guy that goes like,
hey, man, fun if I get some free shit. Obama here to give me free shit, man.
I hope you're doing your little soliloquy, man, because yeah. I'm Obama kid.
Yeah.
Now, if we put that guy and said, here's the representative of the left, what right. would we hear?
Racism.
Voter suppression.
I got to see this clip
These
now.
Disingenuous assholes. Anyway, so... That's what you get for that, Judo Larium. What do you think about that?
I think that the left is... It's just something is wrong. I just have to say.
They're just
killing me with this stupidity.
Isn't this hilarious?
And like, you know what the thing is? I know these shootings are horrible.
Yes.
And I know that they're tragic. But, you know, like, the issues of mental illness, and I've said this before when we talked about it after the Connecticut thing. Why isn't somebody, like, you know, looking into this, and why isn't this, like, for instance, why doesn't the president, instead of talking about guns and banning, why doesn't he go out and say, like, look, there's an issue here where there's a certain amount of, unfortunately, mentally ill people, and some of them become violent.
Yeah.
And they, you know, in their heads, unfortunately, it's just a mess, and they connect the dots that they need to go out and hurt people.
Now, here's an example from a libertarian point of view. You know what a reasonable debate in this country would be? It's not whether or not to take away my guns.
Right.
It's not whether the Second Amendment should be expanded or contracted. Those are my natural born rights, motherfuckers. You can't take those away from me. Now, from a libertarian point of view, you know what might be an interesting conversation, an interesting debate?
Go ahead, Mike.
When does privacy get trumped for the common good? Meaning, when can we... as a society, intrude on the privacy of the individual if we think he's having mental issues.
Right.
Because to me, that's a debate to have. Because obviously, we have laws that if someone presents himself as a danger to himself or the others, a physician has the obligation to call the police.
Oh, yeah.
But those are rare exceptions. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Legally, a doctor is bound by confidentiality laws. So unless the person says, I've got a gun and I plan on shooting up a school today,
right.
It becomes very difficult for a physician, a psychiatrist, whatever, to go out there and report this person.
Right.
So now if you want to have a debate based on personal liberty versus the good for the society, that's one to have. At what point can we intrude on someone's privacy?
Right. I mean, but you won't get that conversation.
No, it's too.
I mean, who's going to have that? You'd have to talk to another libertarian.
Right.
Nobody's going to have that. And you know what the problem is? I think even libertarians might have a problem with that, though.
They probably would. Because look, background checks, which most people think is a quote unquote reasonable restraint on the Second Amendment, that everybody has to have a background check. Listen. I'm not hardcore libertarian. You could convince me that everyone has to go through a background check.
Well, I think it's a good idea.
You could convince me. Here's where I think, though, that it might be a bad idea. Because the fucking government just doesn't stop at that. They use the background check for all sorts of things. We already know. Look at what's happening with the NSA. Look what the IRS did.
They could use Obamacare to look into, you know.
We know Obamacare. That's one of my objections, and we'll get to it in a little while. That's one of my objections to Obamacare. Who the hell, do you know who's implementing Obamacare? The IRS.
Yeah.
The Internal fucking Revenue Service is going to be in charge of implementing one of the biggest and most hideous infringements on personal liberty this nation has ever seen its government impose on its citizens. The IRS is doing that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So we can't count on the government to be good about that. We just can't.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. But I think the problem is you know, you have, and I know so many people who agree with the Democrats on this.
Yeah.
They're just convinced it's the guns.
Yes. Like
all these other things that we're talking about here are just lost on them.
Right.
And they think you're an idiot for not realizing it's the guns.
Right.
And like, and you know, the thing is, which unfortunately is playing into that, is we seem to average these kind of shootings like every 3 or 4 months.
They're picking. They just, seem to be picking up. Now, again, I don't know, and I'll be the first to admit, I don't know the frequency, because
even between the Adam Lanza kid who shot up the school in Connecticut and this guy, you know, the even in between, I heard a story about like in Houston.
But here's the thing, I don't know, and I'll be honest, I don't know what the statistics are. But is it because there's just more news coverage of these events? Mm. I mean, in the past that they happened and they didn't get noticed.
That's always an argument.
I don't know.
But I don't know that.
Yeah,
I have to tell you, though, even to me, and I'm very much, you know, pretty strident in protecting Second Amendment rights, I think there has been an increase.
Okay, so the question there is, what's causing the increase?
Yeah.
Is it the number of guns? I don't think so.
Is it mental illness? Is it
probably
tough economic times?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of environmental factors. Like somebody had a good joke. He goes, well, another AR-15 duped a person into killing someone today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The guns don't have minds of their own.
No, of course not.
When someone gets loaded, either smoking or snorting cocaine or drinking, gets in the car, gets behind a wheel and kills someone with that car, we don't say we have too many cars on the road. We don't say there's not enough, like, car-free zones. What we say is someone is a fucking alcoholic, got drunk, and got behind the wheel.
Right.
We need tougher laws against drunks getting behind the wheel.
Yes.
So why is guns different? Why do you say, oh, it's the number of guns? It's not the person pulling the trigger, by the way, right, which is even more disturbing to me. The person pulling the trigger is secondary to the fact that a gun was involved.
Yeah. For them, it's the gun violence.
Yes.
That's it. And the carnage.
It's horrible. You know. I don't understand where this... I understand where it comes from. It's people, A, who haven't handled guns, generally speaking.
Right.
They don't own guns. They've never fired guns. And all they know about guns is what they see in the movies and read in the New York Times.
Yeah, and they don't like them.
And they don't like them, basically. Yeah. And because they don't like them, they don't want to use them. They don't want to see them. They think that means that everybody else should be denied that basic right.
Right.
Think about that logic, liberals, when you apply it to something like, I don't know, reproductive rights. What if every religious nut in this country insisted, which they're trying to do, insisted that abortion is wrong in their view, therefore nobody should have abortions. When that argument takes place, everyone on the left says, no, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Right.
There shouldn't be any sort of control on abortions. Get off my pussy. Get off my private parts. It's my choice. Blah, 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 blah. And yeah, we agree with you. The government shouldn't be involved with that.
Yeah.
And yet, for a right that's explicitly listed in the Bill of Rights, in the Constitution.
Right, not ad lib.
As a protection against government tyranny. And I can't emphasize this enough. Has nothing to do with hunting. Has nothing to do with stopping crime.
Right.
It has to do with protecting yourself against government tyranny. Anything else that comes from it is secondary. That you're willing to throw away in the trash. Never mind that it's part and parcel of how this country got to be what it is, Larry.
Yes.
We didn't get to be this great nation by allowing the government to do shit for us. This is a relatively new phenomenon. It basically started with the New Deal with fucking one of the worst presidents in the history of this country, FDR.
Yeah, but it's true. We are becoming more like Europe.
Yes.
I mean, I've spent a lot of time over there, and they are absolutely clamped down on guns 100%.
And personal responsibility and accountability, and just expecting government to do everything for you, to provide for happiness, for education, for medical. Just take care of me, daddy.
Yeah.
Take care of me.
It's all cradle to grave nanny state.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of fucking lemmings willing to follow anybody off a cliff as long as they could do it comfortably.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. Feed me. Make me happy at work.
Yeah.
I'm not going to work until I'm not only making money, but until I'm personally fulfilled at work. When's the last time you and I grew up saying, I want to be personally fulfilled at work?
Please.
Not only does the work have to provide me an income so I can live and provide for my family, I have to be fulfilled, Judah Lariam.
Yeah.
Not even the lack of misery.
Yeah, they want to be taken care of in retirement. They want health care. They want education.
They want to be happy. They don't want to put in any effort. It's like, I want to be happy. So, look, if you could be happy at work, if you could do, if you love what you work and can earn a living of it and support yourself, God bless you.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate state. But most people, you have to understand, your parents, my parents, me, Larry, all of us either have or are currently in positions that aren't necessarily making us happy in the world.
Yeah.
But we do it because we need to eat. We need to provide for ourselves. And this is a
but
concept.
It's your responsibility to make yourself happy. It's not the government's responsibility to make you happy. It's not even other people's responsibility to make you happy.
Yes.
You have to make yourself happy.
Thank you.
Why do you think, I mean, for instance, I always
make myself happy in the shower every morning.
Oh, do you, yep. Why do you think I always talk about all my travels?
Jerking off?
Well, that too. But all the traveling I do, all the concerts I go to, all the sporting events I go to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just as examples, it's up to yourself to make yourself happy. You got to find things that...
that you enjoy doing.
That fulfill your life.
Work towards them.
Yeah.
And get them.
And have some ambition, will you, for God's sakes?
Yeah, that's totally missing in the world.
Yeah, that's gone. And you really saw that particular with the Occupy Wall Street people.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they're still around.
I still... Yeah, but they're kind of gone now. They had their one summer and their moment in the sun there when they were occupying Zuccotti Park. And
right.
They I mean, they're kind of gone now. I haven't really heard anything about them, and I don't think they're going to make a comeback either. But it's disturbing to see that so many people thought that they had a good point, or that they're, you know, and they just, you know, the 99%, all that bullshit. Yeah.
Let me ask you something. What happens when the so-called rich, when the people that you want to kill, that you want to get out of positions of power, whose money you want to take, what happens when they stop producing? What happens when they're not creating new capital? What happens when they're not paying into the coffers of the government? What then?
That's what I always tell Democrats.
What then?
The society is makers and takers.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, if the takers just keep getting on the government dole, you're not going to have enough makers to take care of them. Why should they?
Yeah. I mean, it's an old line, but Margaret Thatcher was right. Socialism literally is great until you run out of other people's money. Was it Thatcher or was it Churchill? Or maybe both of them?
No, I think that was Thatcher.
Okay. But either way, you get the point. The point here is, you know, government doesn't give you shit for free. Everyone thinks that you get something for free from the government. That is what is helping you and what's getting you down. That it's some sort of free government cheese. There's no such thing as free. If the government gives you something at no cost, it means it charged someone else for it.
Right.
It took from someone else's pocket to give it to you. That's what government does. There's no such thing as free. If you run out of pockets to stick for the government to stick its hand into, how are you going to provide for everyone else?
Right.
This is where Keynesian economics and assholes like Paul Krugman fall short. They just assume that the producers are going to keep producing happily at ever-increasing levels to provide for the rest of the shitheads. And by the way, before I start getting hate mail that I'm some hateful person who doesn't care about the poor or anything like that, I am not even talking about people who can't help themselves. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking literally that if you went down to an Occupy Wall Street movement and you see these entitled brats sitting there with their iPhones and their Androids and their Blackberries, taking pictures, tweeting, getting on Facebook and bitching about the rich... Like, what are they doing there instead of out-producing or trying to produce?
Exactly. They contribute nothing to society.
Right. I'm not talking about the people who might be sick, infirm.
Or too frail.
We're a great nation. We should take care of the people who can't take care of themselves. I'd have no objection to that. And maybe that's why I'm not a hardcore libertarian, Judah Lariam, because I do believe in some government.
Oh, sure.
I do believe that you have a small, limited government, and part of it is helping those who can't help themselves and protecting the weak from the strong who seek to do them harm.
Yeah, but that's not out of line with libertarianism. I mean,
with some hardcore libertarians, well, it is, because they're more like anarchists, those fucking guys. And I can't, and that's where I draw the line. But you can't tell me that someone who wants to be in college until he's 30 is entitled to that. Fuck yourself.
That's that bullshit about trying to find myself.
Yeah. Seriously. You know, if you're not working 12 hours a day to improve your life, you and I have had multiple jobs at the same time. We've lost sleep over our work. We've canceled vacations. We've gone in on weekends. We work well past our 8 hours. How many times do you see these people? I'm not working. What is it? What's that famous line one of our sycophant friends once used on us? No pay, no OT. What was that stupid line that guy hit us up with?
No pay, no OT. I'm trying to
remember. No OT. In other words, you and I were on professional scale. So typically you and I, back in the day, would never leave our offices until the job got done. There was no such thing as
no overtime
per hour that you would stay your 8 hours. And if you stayed 9 hours, it was time and a half. You know, that's union bullshit.
Right.
Right. There's nothing productive that's more productive between the 9th, 10th, and 11th hours of a work day. To the boss, it's still what it is.
Right.
Why should you get time and a half? Now, if you negotiate to your boss and say, look, I'm supposed to leave at this point. If you want me to stay, you got to give me a little extra because I'm staying late. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that's different. I don't care what you negotiate with your boss. Yeah. But to have the government tell you it's mandatorily a time and a half.
Right.
That's a classic distortion of the market.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where you need to really step up, Judo Lariam.
Yes.
And, you know, have the conversation of, you know, be accountable to yourself. Make your own happiness in this world.
Yeah, my only definition of of happiness
is a Blumpkin.
Yes, and speaking of which, I was noticing that Jennifer Flowers is back in the news.
Oh, now first of all, before we continue,
yes,
you and I met Miss Flowers,
yes,
back in the mid-90s, right after the Clinton revelations.
Yes, we did.
She was one gorgeous woman.
She was hot as hell.
She was a piece of ass, and she looked absolutely hot.
Yep.
Like, I could see where Bill would be banging her instead of Hillary.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But you saw what she said today to the Daily Mail in London, right?
Yeah. She did the interview.
For her new book.
For her new book. She put out that she was the love of Bill Clinton's life.
Very sweet. She was his mistress. Yeah. She was his mistress.
Yeah.
And for people who may be too young to remember, Larry, let me just backpedal a little bit. I don't mean to interrupt you, but for those too young to understand, Jennifer Flowers claimed to be the mistress of Bill Clinton. For his part, Bill Clinton claimed that he only banged her once, and that was it, while he was governor of Arkansas.
Highly unlikely.
Yeah. But anyway, so this chick, Jennifer Flowers, claims that when she was banging Bill Clinton, he was torn. He wanted to leave Hillary for Jennifer. Now, you know, mistresses hear that all the time, right? Yeah, baby. Yeah,
they're always saying,
I'm going to leave
that's
my
wife for you.
Right.
They're always saying they'll leave the wife, and they never do.
They never do. But anyway, so even when you go beyond that, though, apparently she now claims that the reason he didn't leave Hillary for her is because Chelsea came along.
Right.
So Bill, I guess, give him credit for this, didn't want to abandon the family, didn't want to abandon the little girl at the time. So he ended up staying with Hillary. But what's interesting is one of the claims that Jennifer Flowers makes in the book is that while she was banging Bill, he would often engage in pillow talk with her, you know, let out some of the burdens on his mind.
Yeah, sure.
And she claims that he told her very directly, and this is a quote, that Hillary has eaten more pussy than he has. That's a quote. I'm not trying to be crass. If you go to twitter.com, you'll see where I posted the link to the article. So as it turns out, Judo Lariam, not only is Hillary Clinton like a liar about things like Benghazi, not only is she a female liberal feminist, and these are the most horrible type of liberals.
Right.
Not only that, she likes to munch on the box.
Yeah, I don't get that.
She also likes what's that, carpet licking?
Oh.
Rug munching.
Yeah.
clam diving.
Keep going.
I'm trying. I'm running out of things for lesbians. She's butchy.
Look, there used to be.
Again, this is not us, Judo Larium. We're not saying this.
No, she's putting that
Jennifer
out
Flowers
there.
Is saying Jennifer that Bill Flowers. Clinton told her this.
Yeah, that she she's actually eating more box than him, which is that's got to be a huge, like, triple digit number because the two of them are just.
And by the way, just to tie all the rumors together, all the salacious rumors.
Yeah.
You know what they say, that Wiener's wife. Anthony Weiner's wife, the loser of the Democratic
also
primary for mayor of New York, that her and Hillary. But some of
too
the
too much couscous.
Yeah. Well, the funny part was the guys in London actually asked Jennifer Flowers about that, if she knew anything about that, and she said she didn't know, and we certainly don't know.
Right.
But the rumors are out there that maybe that's a little bit of what's going on. Over there, God. A little bit of the kissing of the grits, you know, a little, like we said.
A little licking of huma.
Yeah. Woo.
I got it.
It sounds like, according to Jennifer Flowers, it sounds like Hillary's one voracious dyke.
Yeah.
Again, we're not saying this.
No.
Let's be perfectly clear.
That came out, you know.
She's just butch. Do you think this will help her in 2016? Is there a huge lipstick lesbian population?
No, not at all.
Is there a dyke vote?
It doesn't help. And I think the problem she's going to have here with all this muff diving is that she went to Wellesley College, which was known for... there are aggressive women
right.
having a certain amount of lesbian student population.
Or so we've heard.
So we've heard. But, look, I dated a girl.
Is there anything wrong with that?
No, it's beautiful. Not at all.
Please, not with Hillary.
But, just in general.
Probably all hairy and, not properly groomed and because she's too busy and shit.
Because
and plus she's 1,000 years old now.
Of course, because feminists like that don't dress up for men.
No,
they don't wear makeup.
No.
They don't tidy up the bush.
No.
They don't do anything.
They don't trim the hedges. Nothing.
They don't. There's absolutely no. She's not a green thumb.
No.
There's none of that going on. But I remember hearing about this even back then. And some guy told me one time, he goes, look, haven't you ever noticed that they had the political child in air quotes?
Yeah.
And I said, political child? He goes, yeah, they had Chelsea. They got one kid. They knocked it out of the way to make themselves look like a family.
Right.
But it could be that she's bisexual, lesbian. I mean,
well, that's Jennifer Flowers' claim, that she's bisexual.
Yeah.
Obviously, she had the kid, so she at least took the D once. We know that.
Yeah.
But obviously, Jennifer Flowers' claim is that she's bisexual, which, by the way, I think dovetails into something Dick Morris claimed, you know, their former advisor claimed many years ago, that she was, she was on the D-Lo. She was a D-Lo rug muncher.
Yeah.
So, don't you love the way I show respect to the story by calling rug munching and box licking?
I think you really brought it home, the whole tuna baiting that you...
But here's the thing. If she's the presumed leading candidate for 2016.
Yeah.
Does this come back to her at all, do you think? Are people going to start digging it up?
No, I don't. I don't think it'll come out because I think it's too salacious and too cheesy and it won't gain any traction. Plus, you're talking about a media that wants her to win and doesn't want it.
Though Jennifer Flowers and the British tabloids are making a big deal out of this, I haven't heard too much of this in the U.S. outlets.
I'd hear it all, and that's just my point.
Yeah.
And this is going to blow over, excuse my pun, very, very quickly. And I just don't think that it's going to gain any traction and it'll go nowhere.
Yeah.
Whatever she's done. I mean, look, I don't get the feeling that she's a very, I mean, just not to be personal, but I definitely got the feeling that she's like a very sexual person or anything like that. She's just one of those people that's very, my career is my life.
Right, right.
You know, like sex and those things. Right. Those are like afterthoughts.
Look, I don't know, but so,
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing.
But what's interesting
I'm not even holding it against her.
Right,
I'm
right, right.
saying that's what I think.
No, you don't care if she dove a couple of muffs. Who cares?
No.
It's a good exercise.
No,
but anyway.
She wants to go for the pink eye. That's
right. But here's the thing that I think is also an interesting situation, and you know it'll be great fodder for like comedians and whatnot. If Hillary were to become president in 2016, that would make Bill like the first husband.
Right.
Or the first man, or whatever the fuck they end up calling him.
First husband.
How uncomfortable must that be? that a former president of the United States now gets to carry his wife's bag around when she's president.
Oh, God.
Not to mention, like, that he'll totally go nuts at that point.
But that's just it. But the thing is, if he gets back in the White House, he's just going to be on the prowl.
just endless streams of pussy. As long as it's not Hillary's.
Okay, Hillary. You go work and speak to those Russians. I'm going to go out and get some trim.
Yeah. And this time I'm not going to splooge on any blue dresses.
And this time, if anybody complains, who cares? Because everybody knows you're a carpet munching.
That's right.
I feel your pain.
Jennifer said you like to eat the box. I told Jennifer you like to eat the box.
She has a picture of my taint.
Oh wow! But to be honest with you, even though Jennifer Flowers is not necessarily the most trustworthy of sources, you know.
Yeah, see, that's part of the problem. A lot of the accusations over the years, you get Jennifer Flowers, and yet that Paula wants a face.
Paula Jones. No, they were right about Bill. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that he was banging those women. Yeah. Like Clinton, it's not that he didn't bang them. It's just the degree to which he banged them. So he doesn't claim that he never banged Jennifer Flowers. It's just a matter of Jennifer Flowers saying that it was ongoing for several years. Bill Clinton says it was just once. But look, like I said, you and I saw Jennifer Flowers. Is there any way you tapped that back in the day just once?
Oh, yeah.
No, just once, though?
Yeah, no, I mean, you got to go after that a couple hundred times. I mean, she was good looking.
Like every orifice multiple times.
Yeah.
With your buddies. Put her up on the rotisserie, whatever. She was I can't get over how good looking she was back in the day, up close. Was, yeah. But anyway, so that was some of the news that came out, too.
Yeah. No, I remember that she was really something. But the only thing, though, again, I don't know if this is old. I mean, look, you put stuff like that in, you sell your books. So she could be full of shit.
You know, she probably could have sold the books.
And the Brits love stuff.
No,
like
I know,
that.
But she probably could have sold the books on just how Bill railed her. Yeah, like,
You could sell a lot more.
That's true.
Putting in this.
But then again, don't forget, Dick Morris always claimed that Hillary Clinton was, you know, had her lesbian
has something
flames.
In common with Rachel Maddow.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fun if you found out that was going on in the White House.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Where were you two tonight? Well, we went to the WNBA game.
What's that stuck in your teeth?
And then we... sorry, I had some pineapple.
Oh.
I don't know. I was cleaning dishes with a Brillo pad.
Hey, you know, you used to be a Catholic. Let me just throw this out at you. What do you think about the Pope all of a sudden making these things like maybe we should soften our stance on like the homosexuality?
I agree, maybe we
should soften the stance about birth control. No, I'm not even saying whether you agree with him or not, because obviously I think you would.
I do.
But what do you think about a Pope coming out to say this?
I think he's doing the right thing.
Really?
Of course.
I'm saying, how surprised are you that a Pope is actually doing it?
It's also about time. But it is shocking. I was surprised, yes. But I absolutely agree with him because they've been way too obsessed in those issues. And he's absolutely right. He went on to say, we have to be a church that's inclusive and dealing with people's problems. And like he went, a place that like is a sanctuary for the poor. Yeah. No, that's what they're supposed
that's
to
That's crazy. Has anyone checked his head for a 666? Has anyone shaved his head?
Well, you really have a problem with this?
I'm just joking.
We're not Muslims. You're supposed to be Christians.
Oh, man.
So
then again, he's from Brazil. Who knows what the hell he's going to suggest next?
Actually, he's from Argentina.
Whatever, same thing.
See, that's a wrong NATO right there. You're lucky I was here to go.
Oh, man, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of people who throw it out there was a Muslim cleric. I saw this on YouTube. He was putting out a message.
Was he standing next to a man named Larry Nelson?
No, this guy was explaining to the faithful how many broads you get when you go to heaven. That if you're a good Muslim man, how many broads? That was the question. How many broads do you get before you go into heaven? Do you know the answer, Judah Lariam?
72.
Wrong.
488.
No.
1,200,000.
Not quite. 60. So here's the logic. Okay. He claims if you're a good Muslim and you're here on earth, the first thing you get is once you kick, your wife gets to follow you into heaven. But in a piece of good news for the husbands out there, mm-hmm. She only gets to hang around for 70 years. Okay?
What?
This is what the guy claimed.
Okay.
You get her for 70 years. So you only have to put up with 70 years of nagging from the bitch that you were married to. Then you get 70 dark-eyed virgins.
And so you nice. Got the, you got the one wife.
The one wife. And 70. Then 70 dark-eyed well, virgins.
I said 72. That's right. 71.
But, this guy explained some more to us. Each one of those 70 virgins has 70 virgin handmaidens to help them out.
Do they have mustaches?
No. So, we did some quick calculations here. That means if you're a good Muslim who was married and you go to heaven to hang out with Allah, you end up with 4,901 bitches in the afterlife.
Dark-eyed bitches running around in the potato sack. And
what's so big about virgins?
The first time... I've used this joke many times.
Yeah.
The first time somebody I heard that and yeah. somebody said about the 72 virgins.
Yep.
Excuse me. My initial joke was, why would you want 72 virgins? What is the attraction of that?
Yeah.
I was like, don't you want 36 virgins?
That'll be 72. That'll be 72 women screaming every time you try to jam it in that you're busting their hymen and causing them great discomfort. So 72 virgins. I don't know. Get me a pro in there every so often.
Well, that's what I used to say. Yeah. Don't you want 36 virgins and 36 chicks who know what they're doing?
Right. Somebody who knows how to tickle the old nutsack every so often, get a little something going, you know.
Someone's going to teach me something.
That's right.
You know, I like when sometimes you're asleep like 3 o'clock in the
yeah.
morning,
yeah.
and then someone's just going down on you.
Nice.
Just, you know.
Getting around the world. Maybe wake up to a reverse cowgirl. Something like that. That would be good.
Where do you get these fucking names from? Jesus.
Reverse? You never heard of reverse cowgirl?
I've heard of them, but it's just amazing how you know them like a little kid knows the alphabet.
I'm a married man. All I do is surf porn at night in my basement.
Oh, nicely done.
All right. What else do we want? Oh, here's
my coughing.
Yeah, this has been 2 weeks. Yeah, you're dying over there. You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm right.
Here's the other thing. Did you hear about Julie Chen? Her revelation on whatever cackling hen show she's on.
Julie Chen?
Yeah, she's the one from Big Brother. She's married to CBS executive Les Moonves.
I don't know what Big
anyway,
Brother
she's,
is.
Anyway, she's this Asian broad who came out and admitted that as an up-and-coming reporter, she was advised by someone in her management to get plastic surgery so she could have American eyes.
Oh, to round out her.
And she did. Now, Julie Chen is a very attractive woman now. But when she was telling the story to the cackling hens.
Now?
Yeah. No. Seriously, dude. Let me pull this up on the computer.
Okay, good.
So you can look at the picture. All right. Now, this is not something I did. This is something she put up. This is her on the left.
Okay. That's the old.
And here's the one on the right.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
The one on the left is harsh. Isn't
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
right.
would you like to see that on TV every night?
If I was drunk.
I mean, that's a really harsh, I don't want to say stereotypical Asian face, but it's just the truth that she looks a lot better post the surgery. It looks like she fixed up her eyes, she fixed her nose, she kind of chiseled her jowls a little bit, whatever yeah. they do. I mean, it looks like she had a lot of work done, and I think it paid off.
Right.
So the question there is... Was it wrong for that guy to go to her and tell her she had to be less Asian and more American and to go get plastic surgery? By the way, nobody forced her. Nobody
but see what the problem right there is? Less Asian, more American. What does that mean, more American?
Rounder eyes, obviously. That's what it means.
Okay.
It means less...
More white.
Ethnic features. But the point here is that I think she never claimed that the guy forced her to do it. She never claimed that the guy said she would be fired if she didn't do it. He just suggested to her that she could go a lot further in the business if she had the surgery. And guess what? He was right.
Yeah.
I mean, she's on network television. She's married to
a
powerful TV executive. So obviously, whether it was right or wrong, the results worked for her.
Yeah, but I don't approve of that. I don't think you should have to physically change yourself. It's bad enough that when people used to, a lot of times when they used to go into Hollywood, they had to change their names. You shouldn't have to change anything. That's not what this country is.
Well, you shouldn't have to, but there are realities to this country.
Mm.
Like, why aren't there any fat weather girls? Do you have to be attractive to tell us the weather? Or to give us the traffic report?
There are ugly people who do
No, but I'm saying, yeah. like, but people try to hire attractive people in those situations. Why?
Well,
people respond better to attractive people.
Well, maybe, but that's still not telling people you really have to have, like, work done and physical and change.
Now, why would it be?
Suppose our counterparts on the Mecca riot were told that they needed to look less like shoe bombers and more like us. That's offensive.
Is it?
You don't want to look like an underwear bomber. You want to look like these two white assholes on the riot.
That's interesting. But anyway, Judolarium, I take a look at the old clock here.
Yeah, let me wind down.
And it seems like we're winding down a little bit now, but we have given them enough show. We have given the fans enough show.
I think so.
What do you say we call it a night?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Can you take your hand off my knee?
No. Why are you telling people I'm walking my way up to that juicy cocky?
Oh. Listen, if we can spill the beans about Hillary's rug munching, we could tell them about your hand on my knee.
That's right. If we could call Piers Morgan a limey.
You could get Irish. I told you. He's not a Brit. He's an Irishman.
I don't believe it.
Part of the conspiracy, right? Anyway. All right, everyone. It's been a wacky, crazy show. A lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, a lot of stupidity, a lot of insight, I hope. But in either case, I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Until we meet again next week, this is Big Fat John.
And Jude Alaria.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Lariam. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. Are 60-year-old girls legal in Tennessee? Just asking for a friend.